What up, party people? Welcome to the Believe in Mavs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. This is episode number 5 with your host, Ron Sarajan. And without wasting any time, I'm going to get right into it, picking up from where we left off last week. And as you know, we didn't necessarily leave things on the brightest of notes. Now, I was left in an unusual place where I was becoming an internal pessimist when it comes to the Mavs. That's not something I'm used to. I'm not typically a cynical person, but I had no choice but to view this team through a negative lens because things were getting so bad that they even lost to a lowly Sacramento Kings team. Now, I told you this time last week that this week ahead of the Mavs was going to be one of their easier ones. These were games that the Mavs not only could win, but have no excuse to lose. They had a bad Detroit Pistons team, one of the worst in the league, and a Los Angeles Lakers team that, even though they are returning champions, were without star key players, namely LeBron James and, before this week, Anthony Davis. So how do the Mavs fare against these teams that they are supposed to beat? They got the job done. Now, I don't want to get too into the weeds about stats like I usually do and talk about game script, but that's basically what happened with the Pistons. Things went as status quo. The Mavs scored their points where they needed to get them. Luka had 30 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. Porzingis has a 19 point and 7 rebound game. They get contributions from players like Jalen Brunson getting 20 off the bench. It was a solid game. Nothing crazy. I mean, everybody does what they're supposed to do, and especially what you're supposed to do against a bad Detroit Pistons team. What is a bit disturbing, though, is even in a win, there are still things that you can critique. That being, that defensive uptick that we've been raving about in the past few weeks is all but gone at this point. I was talking about a stat that Josh Richardson was the one to point out. The stat being that whenever the Mavs hold their opponents to under 100 points, they're undefeated this season. That hasn't happened in recent games. This Detroit Pistons win marked the 7th time in as many games that the Mavs allow their opponents to score not above 100 points, above 110 points. Yes, you got your points, as you're supposed to, but you still allowed a bad Detroit Pistons team to get 117 on you. But you are meant to just get the win and get out of there. A lot of it felt like the Mavs going through the motions, getting their buckets where they wanted to, and just conserving their energy. And fair enough, because the next night, they had a doubleheader against the Los Angeles Lakers. And this isn't just any game. Like I mentioned before, before this week, the Lakers were without LeBron and Anthony Davis. But this is the game that Anthony Davis decides to make his comeback. Of course it is. Why would he come against any other team besides the Mavs? But Anthony Davis didn't really have his best game either. He was playing on limited minutes. He had a pitch count. But in that limited time, he had 4 points, 4 rebounds, and he didn't do it efficiently either. Really, the contributions came from unexpected places. And what's scary is that this Mavs team, for much of the game, was actually behind against the Lakers. Even without LeBron, even with a limited Anthony Davis. In this game, they managed to allow Dennis Schroeder 25 points and 13 assists. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who many Lakers fans were trying to get off their squad last year. He's one of those albatross contracts that the team can't seem to get out from under. But he dropped 29 on the Mavs. The Mavs have a funny way of rejuvenating these players who are typically on their way out. And so the Mavs kind of got away by the skin of their teeth in this one. 115 to 110. That marks 8 straight games that the Mavs allowed an opponent to score 110 or more. But they got the win, even if it's against a team that you're supposed to beat. But You can't complain, right? The Mavs are getting their wins. And then the Mavs had a third game this week against the Lakers again. This time around, Anthony Davis plays a little more minutes. Instead of 17, he plays 28. But that didn't seem to be a bother. This time around, the Mavs seemed a little more dug in. They seemed to play with a bit more urgency, a bit sooner in the game. Anthony Davis, even in a more prominent role, had only 17 points, which for him, as you know, is well below expectations. And for what it's worth, he's still working his way back into shape. And the Mavs are probably lucky that they're only getting him at the beginning of his comeback. But still, they got contributions from Dennis Schroeder again. He had a 16-point 10-assist night. And back Ben McLemore, another nobody. I shouldn't say nobody, but at this point in his career, he is definitely an afterthought. He managed to get 20 points. So it was, luckily for the Mavs, it was a case where they finally were able to hold an opponent to under 100 points. Nobody was really hurting them. In this Lakers series, we started seeing Dorian Finney-Smith do his thing again, getting underneath the skin of the opponent. He grabbed the jersey of Andre Drummond. Remember him? For what it's worth, Drummond hasn't had a huge effect for the Lakers, but to be fair, he hasn't had his supporting cast that he signed up for either. But in this series, Dorian Finney-Smith grabs Drummond by the jersey, and Drummond was ready to throw hands. And that's what we need. Finney-Smith just backs away, acts like nothing happened, but he has an opponent who is losing their cool. And we're going to need a lot more of that, especially as we trend towards the playoffs. And that's what I want to talk about a little more in this episode. Rather than talking about the ins and outs of the games, we have to talk about the big picture now. We're only a few games away, a few weeks away, I should say, from the NBA playoffs. And as it stood last week, the Mavs were in seventh place. And we know seventh place isn't good enough, at least for the expectations we had for this team. And we also know what seventh place could mean. It could mean they're very much in a position to get upset by a team that gets hot late in the season. And one of those teams is the Golden State Warriors. If you've seen what Steph Curry has been doing recently, it is not beyond comprehension that he could have a great game against the seventh seed and upset them to get his Warriors into a late playoff push. But luckily, the Mavs have a good week. They beat who they're supposed to beat, going 3-0. But they've also had the help of some other teams. The teams that are, or I should say, were above them in the playoff standings. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Mavs are no longer the seventh seed in the West. We're moving on up to number six. The Portland Trailblazers are basically having the floor fall out from under them. And nobody understands what's going on with that team. In fact, if there was a team I was sure was going to get hot this time of year, it's the Portland Trailblazers. Now, I know this is the Believe in Mavs podcast, but a little tangent here. A few weeks back, a Portland Trailblazers fan had hit up Damian Lillard on Twitter. And he said, "Hey, Dame, I put my house on the line," basically. I believe he said his mortgage. He'd bet it all on the fact that the Blazers would get 42 wins this year. Right now, as it stands, I believe the Blazers are at 32 wins, with just a handful of games left to play. And Damian Lillard responded to that tweet saying, "Say less." Basically assuring this fan, "Don't worry, I've got it in the bag. I'm going to make sure you don't lose your house." And Damian Lillard, as we know, he's got ice in his veins. He's the kind of guy that when he says he's going to do something like that, I believe him. Yeah, well, since that happened, the Blazers have gone on a 6-game losing streak. I don't mean to laugh at somebody's misfortune, and you know, I feel for that fan, but this really works in the favor of the Mavs. So even though the Mavs have been going on their small winning streak, the Blazers have gone on a disastrous losing streak. Everything that could go right for the Mavs right now is going right. Not only are they winning games, but their opponents that they need to lose are doing just that. And it kind of works double in the Mavs' favor because now the team directly ahead of them is the Los Angeles Lakers at the fifth seed. And as you know, the Mavs beat them twice in a row. So that's two games that the Mavs get to creep on the Lakers. And it basically counts as doubles because those are two losses that count for the Lakers. As it stands, the Mavs are now only a game and a half back behind the Los Angeles Lakers for the fifth seed. And they're a game and a half ahead of the Blazers. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, as you know. Anytime I get a glimmer of hope, the Mavs seem to dash that dream. So I'm just going to temper my expectations here and just say we are within striking distance behind a Lakers team that still does not have LeBron James back. So based on what we've seen in the past games that we played against the Lakers, it's not beyond imagination that this team can fall just a few more games. I mean, we only have to be two games better than them the rest of the way. Now, I realize that's a tall task to ask for these Mavericks, you know, asking for consistency. But at least this is starting to shape up, and we're starting to see the finish line ahead of us. You can see that light at the end of the tunnel, and if the Mavs can assemble together a just shred of consistency, this is a team that not only has played their way out of the play-in games, but might actually be close to a fifth seed. And if things go somewhat awry for the Denver Nuggets, now this is a bit more of a stretch here, since the Mavs are 5.5 games behind the Nuggets. They would need to have a disastrous end. But let's play that scenario. Let's say the same thing that happened for the Blazers happened to the Nuggets. I mean, they are without Jamal Murray after all. If they somehow play worse and fall out, the Mavs can actually find their way into the top half of the conference. But let's be realistic here. Let's play the odds and realize that it's going to have to take a disastrous end of the season for the Nuggets to fall down in the rankings. They're basically, I would say, the top four seeds are just about set in stone. So gunning for that fifth spot is the difference between playing the Nuggets in the first round, who, like I said, are without their star guard, or having to play the Los Angeles Clippers. And as we know, the Mavs have a mixed bag of results against them. They played back and forth this season, but this is still the team that eliminated the Mavs from the playoffs last year. So all the Mavs can do right now is just try to continue this trend of winning basketball into the regular season. Don't let up now. You have to make it as far as you can and see if you can usurp the Lakers for that fifth seed. What's satisfying to see in this late season push, though, is contributors coming from all different places. What I didn't mention in that Lakers game was that Kristaps Porzingis actually sat out again. Shocker, I know. But we started seeing players step up like Dwight Powell, who obviously there is as many opinions of Dwight Powell that are negative that are positive, probably even more so. But he stepped up and had a career night with 25 points on 9 of 10 shooting. That's the kind of contribution that this team needs, especially going late into the season. If we're going to try to make a stand and usurp the Lakers, we need the Dwight Powells of the world to step up. You know, many people look at Jalen Brunson as the X factor for this team. Less so on my end. It's not necessarily as consistent as I would like, but it's comforting to know that when nights like this happen and KP almost guarantees you a night off the bench, that someone like Dwight Powell can step up and give you production. Nicolò Melli still doing his thing. JJ Redick is starting to find his form. This is a Mavs squad that's seeing everybody go all hands on deck and show that this is a team. And I think this team is rallying around Luka. KP and Luka may not have the best chemistry in the world, but this rest of this roster looks like they're ready to hand Luka the reins as their leader. And that might just be the winning formula for this team moving forward. Which leads me to talk about this upcoming week. It's not the most daunting of schedules the Mavs have faced. They do face a Sacramento Kings squad that they did lose to last week, but at the end of the day, for as much flack as I give them, I still believe this Mavs team is better than the Kings. I do think this time around their heads will be on straight. I do think this momentum that they're carrying will carry into this game. They have a Warriors squad that, even though they can be a bit unpredictable and can compete with just about anybody on any given night, this Mavs team is still better than the Warriors. And then they get a rematch against the Pistons and a Saturday night battle against the Washington Wizards. It is not the scariest of schedules, to say the least. And I think the Mavs can extend this winning record to, who knows, this winning streak could go maybe another 4 or 5 games, which is exactly what they need this late in the year. I am still on the fence. I've been burned too many times whenever I get my hopes up about this team. But it's hard not to be a bit positive looking at where the Mavs are now. Mark Cuban took a little offense to it when he was on 105.3 The Fan, and they were talking about, you know, the inconsistencies of Mavs. And Cuban basically said, you know, you don't think that we can overtake the Lakers? And I think that mindset is trickling down from ownership to management to coaching and to the players. And I think everybody is locked in now. It looks like this Mavs team understands how fragile the ecosystem is in the West. And if you are not locked in and night out, you will be overtaken. It's exactly what just happened to the Portland Trailblazers. It could happen to the Lakers, as long as the Mavs are doing what they need to do. On that note, thank you for joining me again for another episode of the Believe in Mavs podcast. Guys, it's fun. I'm excited. The playoffs are just around the corner. We're going to have a lot to talk about. Until then, until next week, take care. God bless. And I'll see you on the next episode on the Believe Podcast Network.